Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Dave Johnson, joined by an immaculate lineup, starting with Eric Astroslager.
Hello there.
Daryl Loomis.
Hi, hi.
And Ales Nelson.
Hello.
So get to hear everyone's voice. So I hope we're just discussing the weather offline, so we will not take it online. So let's get right to what we're here for. Daryl, why don't you kick us off? Tell us if you've seen anything of interest, of note, that you'd love to share with the crew.
Well, you know, it's been all Olympic fever out here.
Yeah, that's right. Are you watching the Olympics?
I watch the Olympics some. I keep it on in the background most of the time, but I like seeing some of the sports that I never see, you know, outside of that week every 4 years. So that's cool.
I have decided that if my daughter shows any interest in gymnastics, I'm going to dissuade her as much as possible. Just because it's a lose-lose situation, I think. I mean, as a parent, they show all the cuts to the parents when their kids are, you know, doing the gymnastics, and they just look like they're in torture.
Well, their children look like they're about to die.
That's right. Their children are going to die, and, oh, man, it's
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
But it's fun to watch.
It is fun, yes, it's true.
On the plus side, Dave, I think your daughter's already the right height to be a gymnast.
Yeah, that's true. I think she's closer to puberty than some of those other gymnasts. So here you go. I'm going to steal your thunder real quick, Daryl. We'll do a lightning round ambush topic. A sport in the Olympics that you typically don't watch, but that you find yourself drawn to when this time of the decade or whatever rolls around. Go ahead, Daryl. What's one of those sports?
We will call, we already talked about gymnastics. That is one of them for me, that I watch. But, you know what I really like is, archery.
Archery, really?
Yeah. I can't really tell you why, except, it's a guy or a woman shooting stuff. But, but it's the only time I watch it, and I sure do watch it.
Well, I think you got to the core of it, so I think you did well to talk about its appeal. Alice, how about you?
I know it's the summer, but for me it's curling, because I just don't get that game at all. It's kind of fascinating to watch them with that broom push that thing across the ice.
Yeah, it's just kind of ridiculous.
Fascinating. Yeah, exactly.
It is legitimately huge up north, right?
Yeah.
It really is, yeah.
So, and it feels like I could maybe do that, right?
That's what I think.
Do it? Yeah. Eric, how about you? Any Olympic sport that...
I guess I'll have to go winter, too, since we can't watch the Summer Olympics this year. I will. I guess I'll go speed skating. Mm. I don't know.
That's good. It's lethal, too, you know. But, I mean, they're just, like, flying around on these sharp...
Yeah, imagine a drop kick.
Yeah, a drop kick would be nice. There's a Van Damme movie coming up. I would say... Despite the hilarious controversy, I would say it was hilarious, even though it probably broke the hearts of fans everywhere. But badminton, to me, it's compelling. I mean, sure. That was some excellent, that was prime video footage of those teams throwing a badminton match.
I don't know.
If you haven't seen what it looks like to throw a badminton match, I strongly recommend checking out this footage. But like badminton played when they're all about it is insane, because that is a sport. That was a backyard diversion that I had no grasp of, even when I was, you know, when I was screwing around with it, and just see these people they just attack it like they're pros. I just, you know, it just seems like a lot to pour your life into badminton, I suppose. You know?
Whoever thought there'd be a badminton controversy? That's...
Yeah, that's true. It's through the looking glass. Definitely through the looking glass. All right. Sorry, Daryl. Continue on.
That's about really about it. I spent the last week in Oregon, so mostly I was watching television that I was not choosing, that I was not pleased with.
All right, well, we'll leave that under the rock for another time. Okay, Alice, haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I know you guys have talked about this, probably ad nauseum to you, but I did go see The Dark Knight Rises, and I loved it. I thought it was great ending to the trilogy. And I have to admit, before I go on any further, that the first time I saw The Dark Knight, I didn't care for it at all. As a matter of fact, I went as far as to say I hated it. Oh. And I don't know what's going on. Maybe I was premenstrual or something. But
we've all been there.
That's my experience. I know. I know you can understand that. So after seeing The Dark Knight Rises, fantastic movie. Christopher Nolan, he knows how to make movies. So husband and I went back and we watched Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises, and then The Dark Knight. And I just had a better appreciation of it after having seen the third one. It made sense to me then why Batman had to go through what he went through, or Bruce Wayne, during the Dark Knight. And how it led to the third movie. I was listening to your objection broadcast, and I remembered Dan saying he thought they were three separate movies in and of themselves, which I think they are, but they're separate in the sense that they're pieces of the same puzzle.
Sure, and Nolan, like genres. They're
yeah, different genres, but the same puzzle, and they all fit together like this puzzle. It was just amazing how he went from the first one to the third one and was so consistent with all the, you know, the backstory, and in the third one using the image of his father coming down the well from Batman Begins. And then you go to the second one. You know, it starts with Bruce Wayne, and I remember you saying the characters were basically Bruce Wayne and Gotham City. I think for Nolan making Batman, it seemed he was more interested in the Bruce Wayne character than he was in the Batman character, because I think he spent a lot of time on that. And it starts at Batman Begins with Bruce Wayne and why he becomes Batman, and then it ends with him realizing he has to let go of that in order to become Bruce Wayne again. And it seemed like in the first one, he goes into being Batman with the wrong intention, which is why things went so haywire for him, I think, in The Dark Knight. He went in angry and vengeful, and then treated the Joker as if the Joker was just any old criminal, and the Joker's trying to bait him to become like him. And even one line that Heath Ledger was fantastic. I don't know what I was thinking the first time I saw this thing, but it just drew me in. It was like Dan said, he was evil and crazy, but he had sort of a side to him that you liked. Like, maybe you can have a beer with him if he doesn't kill you first. And he makes this comment in The Dark Knight that says, you can't be compromised, Batman. And I think he does have a plan. He did have a plan, and his plan was complete chaos. And that's all he was interested in. He wasn't interested in money, power, and fame. He just, like Alfred said, wanted to see the world burn. And when he couldn't compromise Batman, he goes to Harvey Dent. And even the first time I saw it, I thought Harvey Dent turning into Two-Face was didn't make sense. But watching it a second time, you can see that he was unstable from the beginning. He was just this kind of, you know, the end justifies the means kind of attorney general, whatever he was. And it was easy to see that after he loses the woman he loves and all this stuff happens to him, that he could turn into this character that would sort of complement the Joker character. And then after Batman decides he's going to take the fall because Gotham needed a hero, and the hero had to be Harvey Dent, it totally makes sense that he would go underground for 8 years, because he isn't Batman anymore. And at that point in his life, he's completely lost. Who am I? Am I Batman? Am I Bruce Wayne? He doesn't even know where to go. So he stays, you know, in seclusion for these 8 years. Then he comes back, but he comes back with the right intention to save Gotham, knowing he's not going to be Batman forever. And he's able to pass that mantle on to the next.
Oh, you had me until you said Batman Forever. So close.
Oh.
I was with you. Now I started thinking about Val Kilmer and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Well, point. Let me. The real question I've got for you, Alice, is there an IMAX theater anywhere near you in Idaho?
There is. Should I go see it in IMAX?
Oh, I don't know. That's my question. I plan on checking out IMAX too, but I mean, I hear that's all the rage. So,
yes.
I mean, not to pass judgment on Idaho, inferring that they would not have an IMAX theater.
Well, that's not.
Who do I know?
Well, yeah.
I know in Dallas, like they got theaters that fill up all of Rhode Island, right?
Oh God, yes.
I mean, they're serious, and I'm not joking. I mean, I think my neighbor who's from Texas always tells me about how amazing movie theaters are.
Well, I won't go so far to call them amazing, but they're huge.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, amazingly huge. So,
yep.
All right, well, it definitely looks like it kind of connected with you, Alice. So,
it did. I'm hooked, and I can't wait for all three of them to come out in some sort of special, you know, set so that I can buy all three.
Yeah, and speaking of that, when Dark Knight came out on Blu-ray, it was so lean and so Spartan. I thought, oh, well, they're surely going to double dip, and it never came out, even for this third movie. I was actually generally shocked about that. Like, we've yet to see, like, a loaded Dark Knight release, so.
I bet he's waiting until the third one comes out, because I really think, you know, and I'm just guessing here, that Nolan wanted all of these three to be released, to be seen together, because they are such perfect complements of one of the other. You know, the first one was okay, kind of that origin story. The second one just expands on, it's like the arc of the whole trilogy, and then it comes to The Dark Knight Rises. They're, like you said, three different movies, but I bet he wants to release them all together, because for me, it didn't click until I saw the third one. You know, the first one was okay. The second one was like, ah, just kill him, just kill the Joker. And then I see the third one, I'm going, oh, okay, it makes sense now. And I bet Nolan wants all three of those to come out together.
Yeah, we'll see. It has to be better than the Lean Blu-ray and the Batpod collectible that made up the special edition. So
I'm sure.
All right, very cool. Anything else, Alice?
That's it, and that's all we've been talking about.
Oh, so yeah, that's true. Nice. Eric, how about you? What have you seen recently? No Olympics for you, unfortunately.
No Olympics, because we don't have cable, so we can't watch it online, because that makes
really
sense.
Really? You can't watch? They don't stream?
You have to have a cable subscription in order to watch it online.
I mean, the Olympics is locked down like Bin Laden assassination tape, you know?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm not like the biggest Olympics guy, but my wife likes the Olympics a lot, and so I sort of assumed we were going to be able to watch it. I don't know why, because I don't know. I assume things make sense in this world.
That's right.
Silly me. So anyway, so we had not been able to see any of the Olympics. So, that's okay. It's all right. I have, however, and I won't say too much about it because I know not everyone watches it, but I've been really into the beginning of season 5 of Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. That is back.
I heard good things about this season, right?
In a big way. Yeah. It continues to be excellent. This is the first season where I'm actually watching the episodes week to week, and I have to wait a week between the episodes. Seasons 1 through 3, I devoured on Netflix.
Yeah,
and then season 4, I bought on Amazon right about the time the season ended, so I could watch that kind of just in a row. Mm-hmm. And now I'm doing the same thing. I've got the subscription at Amazon, so I'm watching it every week. And it continues to just be, you know, the best show on TV.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait.
I'm woefully behind in the show. I need
to catch up. I mean, I think, you know, once it, and I know Mac's not here to talk about it, but according to Facebook and Twitter, Mac has gotten himself hooked on Breaking Bad as well. So,
well, that's what I hear. Once you go Breaking Bad, you don't go back.
You never go back.
No. And I continue to love the way the show, every action has a consequence. Like everything that happens, you know, pays off in good or bad ways at some point. I mean, when I started watching the show, and the first season is, I think, only like 6 episodes long. You know, it's amazing. The pilot, you know, felt, you know, very satisfying, very cool, kind of felt like a self-contained story when I watched it. It kind of builds to this climax, and this stuff happens, and it ends, and you feel like, okay, they've established the characters, they've established the world, they've, you know, done this thing that I'm not going to say what it is, now they can go on to the rest of their, you know, meth making adventures. And then episode 2, they're dealing with the fallout from episode 1, and episode 3 is continuing to deal with that. So even though, you know, it's not like the show is just like plotting, you know, trek through every single step of the meth process, or, you know, the process of becoming a criminal and all that stuff, they really do play it very, I think, fair with everything they do. And they do some crazy stuff on that show. And season 4, without saying too much, you know, ended in crazy ways, as did seasons 1 and 2 and 3.
is this the last season?
It is, although they're breaking it into 2 parts, 2 8-part halves.
Oh, okay, right.
So the second half doesn't air till next summer, which is a little disappointing, but, you know, whatever.
Part of me just wants to wait for the whole enchilada to finish and just lock it through.
Yeah,
you know?
That's probably when I'm going to finally watch it.
And that's totally fair. I mean, one of the things that – and it seemed like season 4 I definitely wanted to get caught up on, because I was pretty positive I was going to have it spoiled for me if I didn't. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of show where I wanted to go into complete blackout. I don't want to know anything. I want to just – watch a show. I don't want to, you know. So this is. I'm probably the most spoiler averse to this show than I have been for almost anything else. And I think that's the way to watch it. So if you can avoid finding out any of the big, things happen.
I really, honestly, know zero about this show.
Okay,
I know who's in it. I know it's to do with meth, and I know that Bryan Cranston is sending his underwear on the cover. I really know nothing. I don't know what else.
And that's, I mean, there. So you kind of you know the first episode of the entire series.
Okay, yeah. I don't know who else is in it. I don't know anything. I don't know that's why great. He's doing. I don't know any of this stuff.
Okay, so good. That's perfect then. So all I right. think if you want to wait, you know,
save
even
myself.
Though I could never do it, you can wait till next summer.
Okay,
and then just watch the whole thing.
All right. So now they're splitting it into two 8-part seasons. You said.
8 episodes. So it's going to be a longer season overall, unless you want to consider it being seasons 5 and 6, 8 episodes each. And the previous seasons have been 13 episodes.
Yeah.
Except for season 1. So this will be a 16-episode season, which is good. And, you know, and they've known this for a while, so they are building, you know, building up to a very specific endpoint. There's none of this, you know, treading water and stuff. They know where they're going. It's just they're breaking it into two halves.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those shows that has earned my trust. They can do pretty much whatever they want. I'll be
yeah.
with them.
Now, the real question is this climbing the leaderboards as far as Eric Ashlesinger's all-time favorite show?
It's pretty much been at the top ever since I started watching it.
Wow.
It's, I mean, as far as dramas, currently it is.
Has it eclipsed Lost? I guess that's my
yeah,
question.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I think it's much better than Lost. I loved Lost when I was watching it. I have not felt any desire to go back
yeah.
and think about it or revisit it. And I, you know, I went so far down that rabbit hole for 6 years.
That's right. That
it's probably better than I don't think I could go back.
It's like apples and oranges, though. It's hard to compare those two shows.
Yeah, very, very different shows. I mean,
yeah, so I still love Lost. I haven't gone back to see it either, but I still really like that show, and I love how it ended. I know you don't, Dave, but
I agree. I mean, I don't have any complaints about pretty much anything on Lost. I was another one
yeah.
of those shows where they could do whatever they wanted to. It was their
exactly.
story. I'm not going to complain. But at the same time, I think that there was a little bit more mystery for mystery's sake. It wasn't as kind of tightly constructed. Breaking Bad is very much just a beautifully put together package from beginning to end on every single level. I've said this mm-hmm. enough times, so I won't again. But yeah, it's great. So Breaking Bad is awesome.
All right.
And the only other thing, take it on a little bit of a movie video game
yeah,
out. But anyone out there who has iPhone, iPod, iPad, whatever, an iOS device, Android users and so on can wait till they come out with a version. There's a new game called Manos the Hands of Fate.
Nice.
It is an 8-bit style NES game.
Is it based on that movie?
It's based on the movie Manos the Hands of Fate, as made famous by Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes.
It's pretty great. It's basically a side scrolling platformer done, you know, I think they tried to make it as though it, you know, could run on NES hardware, so it has all of that, you know, all of that look and the music. It's unfortunately, you know, playing that kind of game on a touchscreen device is not the easiest because you just have buttons on screen. So when it gets a little hairy, it gets kind of, you know, cheap. But they are thinking about hopefully bringing it to Xbox Live at some point, maybe like to the indie
nice.
Indie games. If that happens, I definitely, you know, I say get it. Right now it's only $2. I imagine it'll go on sale at some point if $2 is too steep for you. It's very cool. One of the things they've done, they definitely have a lot of like references to the show and even some kind of obvious and not so obvious references to Mystery Science Theater. But they made it as though it were an NES game based on a movie. And a lot of those NES movie games were only kind of tangentially related to the movie themselves. They had a lot of just weird, you know, enemies and stuff. They had nothing to do with the movie. And in this case, it's the same way. They're, you know, they have Torgo's the first boss. You know, and they've got snakes and they've got some of the other stuff, but then they also have like flying skulls. And I think there are some enemies from Troll 2 in there, whatever. So it's kind of drawing inspiration from a lot of places. It's pretty cool. I think, even though it's a little tough to control at times, I think it's definitely worth checking out. So,
all right. Well, because I was, on hiatus last week, I'll do a quick catch up on a couple things I'd reviewed for the site because I haven't seen anything new since then. But, it was actually a pretty good selection of stuff I was able to sink my teeth into last week in the action genre and elsewhere. But first, an oldie, Hard to Kill, Seagal's nice. Second movie, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I gotta say that I don't think it really held up for me as much coming back to it.
Kelly LeBrock plays
Kelly LeBrock is in her prime, but you know, she's at the height of her
powers. The Weird Science prime.
The Weird Science prime, absolutely. So she's at the height of her powers. Seagal is the same as he is today.
Was his debut or his second movie?
Second movie.
Okay. Above the law, thank you.
He's a Volkswagen lighter now, but beyond that, he's the same guy. Doesn't take a punch. I also just realized watching this, like, as much as I know he's a legit martial artist and he could decapitate me with ease, his style just doesn't really translate well on screen as far as action choreography.
He has absolutely no charisma on any level.
So the fight scenes are just... When he breaks limbs, that's cool, but he's mainly just pushing people into shopping carts.
I mean, at least, you know, Van Damme wasn't a great actor, but at least he had the splits into the truck shot.
Would I want a Seagal, a 35-40-year-old Seagal with me in a dark alley? Sure, but I'm not sure if I'd take $10 to see him engage in this fight. So that was, but he did have one of the all-time great over-the-top action names, Mason Storm. That was pretty awesome.
So awesome.
So there's that, and then a new movie, which is actually kind of cool, very claustrophobic, called Break, starring Stephen Dorff. It's essentially, the whole movie really takes place with him inside a car trunk. Very much, he kind of wakes up in this car trunk, and you're with him as you figure it out going along. It's pretty cool. Kind of ambitious, very claustrophobic. Goes for a big twist at the end, and I think doesn't quite stick the landing, but recommended anyway. And I've always kind of liked Dorff, and he does pretty well here. So I recommend. And then finally, the first original series from Cinemax called Strike Back, which was a joint venture with Sky Broadcasting in Britain, and it's a 10-episode series. And it's, you know, it's a big actions, you know, big kind of action-y 24 type of show. It's got an American agent and a British agent, and they just go gallivanting around. And actually, it's highly entertaining, and a lot of action, a lot of blood and squibs and everything. But the Cinemax trademark TNA is so over the top. It's so ridiculous that it becomes like the American guy is like a slut, pretty much, you know. And it's just so distracting because you're like counting the communicable diseases he has, you know. So it's just so gratuitous and over the top. And
at least they embrace who they are.
You're right. I mean, they know that. They got the name Cinemax to live up to, and they live up to it. But it is actually a very entertaining show, and its action sensibilities are dead on. And it's for gratuitous action and whatnot, this really can't be beat. So I can't say I didn't enjoy the show, but it's too much debauchery, though. It really detracts from it. So, and actually, since it's a British-made thing, you'll notice some faces, especially if you watch Game of Thrones. There's some recognizable faces there. So that's that. So we'll move on real quick to our because we're a little behind. So let's zap through stuff we're doing for the site this week, Daryl.
The one thing of fun note that I'm doing for at least people like me is it's a ton of watching, but it's 6 discs, 50 shorts called Crime Does Not Pay that were produced between 35 and 47. And they're all about these big, crazy rackets, like shoplifting rackets and immigration smuggling rackets. And I don't know if it's just to inform people about – if it was just to inform moviegoers about these crazy rackets that occur. But if you listen to them, every single industry that you can think of has some ridiculous conspiracy going on within it. So for me, it's a whole ton of fun, but you know, it's basically like watching 2 seasons of a sitcom over like 4 days. So it's quite a lot.
Yeah. Wow. Lucky you.
But it's, I have never, better understood that Crime Does Not Pay than I do right now.
Oh, very good.
Nice. Lesson learned.
Excellent. Alice, how about you? What do you got?
Sam Jackson dropping the F-bomb in a movie called Meeting Evil. And it's an okay movie. He's definitely the draw co-stars Luke Wilson, who I've never had any kind of affinity for as an actor. So it's basically Sam Jackson, evil, harassing Luke Wilson, and dropping the F-bomb a lot.
All right.
There you go.
I wish we could all, something we could all relate to, I'm sure. Eric.
A couple things quickly. First up, the new cinematic Titanic release, Rattlers, which is a rattlesnake movie, I assume, from the 70s. I should probably look that up. But, you know, it's in the same vein as any kind of, like, a bunch of animals start to kill people. In this case, it's due to some illegal army bio-warfare experiments that they bury in an old abandoned mine where there are a bunch of rattlesnakes, and then they attack people. They even go so far as to pop the tire of a Jeep as it's driving by.
The snakes do.
Wow. The snakes do.
Nice. They are that good.
Clever, huh?
They are that fast and clever. And it's very funny. I really like what Cinematic Titanic is doing, so that's great. Also, The Lorax, the original special, 25-minute Lorax on Blu-ray. Looks great. Sounds great. Still a classic bit of Seuss. Also comes with two bonus Dr. Seuss related things. One is called Pontoffel Pock and the something something. I should look that up too. which apparently the way the credits read, it was the teleplay by Dr. Seuss and lyrics by Dr. Seuss. So it wasn't based on a book. And then the other is Butter Battle Book, which was pretty interesting because the animation was done by Ralph Bakshi's company. And apparently it was made for Turner Network, for TNT. It says Turner Network Television Presents. So it's pretty cool. And it ends, the whole thing about that one is you have these two groups of identical looking people. One, well, not people, creatures, one of whom butter their bread on the bottom, one of whom butter the bread on the top. And of course they can't get along. And it turns into this arms race where at the end they each have this little like electric jelly bean thing that's a bomb. And they both meet and are standing on the wall, and this little kid asks, you know, who's going to drop it first? And the one says, you know, I don't know. And it just goes, the end. That's it. It's like, we'll see, the end. It's pretty chilling, actually, for a Dr. Seuss thing. So pretty good. Good stuff.
Nice. Not much for me, except a little low-budget sci-fi-like fantasy movie called Age of Dragons, which takes the Moby Dick story and turns it into a low-budget fantasy movie. So, and Danny Glover plays Ahab. And that's all. And they hunt a white dragon, and it's like...
How is that? I saw that dialogue, somewhere.
You know, attempts at pretentious... You know, pretentious... it's rough. I'm done with that. Let's move on. Stuff coming up for August 7th. How about that? Upcoming DVD releases. Click on DVD Verdict. Mac usually does this, but he's out gallivanting. So, let's... You know what to do. August 7th, cover art, upcoming DVD releases, play along. Let's see what we got here. What do we
have? Adventures in Babysitting, which
was
a favorite as a kid for me.
That was, was that on Blu-ray?
Yes, yep. It's on Blu-ray.
Same here. That was a favorite as well.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, I still haven't seen that movie.
It's not quite as intense as that cover depicts, I think. But.
No, I don't think there's any swinging between buildings.
Yeah, no, it's nothing like that. But what's his face is Thor, right? Vincent D'Onofrio or whatever. So,
okay.
Yeah. He does a little Thor impersonation.
On Clue out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that, I've never seen that. Yeah. I remember people loving that.
I really never saw that.
No.
It's
good.
Yeah.
It holds up pretty well. I mean, it's, you know.
I mean, they had the cool gimmick of having three separate endings depending on where you were and how it, you know, what print theaters got. So, I mean, that was kind of, you know, that's kind of neat. So.
Yep.
I got the remake of the Lorax. Well, not remake, the full length, not apparently very good version of the Lorax.
Right. There's Strike Back, by the way, towards the bottom there. You can see they mean business.
They do look like they mean business.
They mean business, boy. Ooh, Spaceballs, huh? 25th anniversary edition.
Yeah, not a great movie.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a while, so I
No, but it's the last good Mel Brooks movie.
Hmm.
So the last good Mel Brooks movie is not a very good movie?
Yes, I would say that's true.
Is this before or after Robin Hood Men in Tights?
That's the movie before Robin Hood Men in Tights, I think.
I remember laughing sporadically at Robin Hood Men in Tights, and it came on recently, and I was laughing.
So you were laughing recently at it?
Yeah, recently sporadically at it, yeah.
So there's, for other old movie fans, Johnny Guitar is a hell of a fun movie with Joan Crawford and Sterling Hayden. So it's also got the classic Peggy Lee song of the same name. So anybody who has not seen that, that's something certainly to pick up.
Okay. What else?
Hey, Eric, didn't you review Killing Bono?
I did.
Did you love it?
No, it was okay. I didn't love it. I can't remember why. Read my review. I can't remember. It was disappointing. I think I wanted to like it because I do like U2, but it's very little about U2, and it's kind of has a sort of a biopic, but then it just gets super ridiculous and silly in a not good British way. So,
see, there's a season Ghost Hunters. I would bring that up because I'm pretty sure the guy in the foreground, I saw him standing out in front of an Old Navy in the mall in New Hampshire a couple weeks ago.
Was it him or was it his ghost?
I think it might be ghost. He had the shirt on, and they're the Atlantic Paranormal Society, so they're nearby. So I'm going to wager that it was indeed him.
Yeah.
He was sipping some Ecto Cooler too, so I think that.
I think finally for this, I'm going to point out that if you look at Benji off the leash, that dog does not look off the leash.
He looks like a broken animal.
He looks really tired.
He looks a little bit like Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
I got a Blu-ray release, by the way. Yet.
I'm sure.
Is that as uproarious as I remember it?
I don't know. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Not even a fraction.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see when that does come. Okay, inadvertently sleazy sounding TV release of the week. Ella, who do you got? Let's go first.
Blow Monkey.
Not bad. Not bad. Daryl.
Okay, we're going to go with A Tornado in the Saddle.
Fine, all right.
Eric.
I'll go with Foreign Parts.
God damn it.
Sorry. Sorry.
Ugh, the Incredible Mr. Limpet. Okay, enough of this. Let's go on to our Headbush topic segment. Random topics thrown at each other. I will go first. In the spirit of Olympics, Olympic events based on Bond films. So events culled from any or all Bond movies.
Real events or prospective events?
Oh, anything you want. You make it up. It just has to be inspired by something you've seen in a Bond film.
Oh, fedora thrower.
Well done. Absolutely. Like, do you get extra points if you chop the head off a statue?
Absolutely, yes. That's an extra point of difficulty.
And then you have to go retrieve it before they turn the juice back on the metal.
Exactly. It's embedded
or you electrocuted. Yeah. Fedora throwing. That's good.
But full contact baccarat.
No. That would be exciting. No, not exciting. Yeah.
That wasn't. You didn't say exciting, James Bond.
Yeah, you're right. Because Batman is not exciting. So you're correct.
Like a lot of Olympic events, I don't understand the rules. So
that's a good point. That would apply.
If I understood the rules, it might be a more interesting issue.
It has something to do with giant rectangle.
You just default to Go USA.
Or am I? Isn't that baccarat or no?
I think I lost.
Okay. Keep going, Alice. What's you got one?
Let me think. How about bikini catching? I don't know.
All those
bikini clad women in all the James Bond movies.
So you're talking about like he'd be sitting on a bed and bikinis get thrown at him, is that what you're saying? That kind of bikini catching?
The women in the bikinis, he has to catch them.
Oh.
Oh, so attempted rape, okay.
I guess they wouldn't go for that in the Olympics, would they?
Not what I hear.
Yeah, that's right.
Apparently, Olympic Village is quite the swinging.
The scene. It is the scene, apparently. It's very much like Strike Back, I would guess.
There you go.
Okay, I'll go with the maggot crawl from License to Kill. They just they toss you into a big vat of maggots, and you got to make it to the end without getting devoured, I suppose. Or you can also use any of the real Olympic events shown in For Your Eyes Only, but that were bastardized for the James Bond version. So having so putting skiers in the luge, you know, which is absolutely insane, you know, or tandem the tandem ski jumping, but you know they're fighting each other. So I think any of those events. very good. Okay. Alice, why don't you go next?
How about surprisingly good performances from actors you normally think are worthless?
Ooh. That's going to require some thought, maybe.
All right, I'll go with this one. Last week I reviewed a movie called Detention. In that movie, Dane Cook plays a principal in a high school, and he is not terrible.
Wow.
He doesn't
have a ton to do, but he's not as repulsive as he is in real life. Oh, so
that's the best way to utilize that.
Impressive.
Don't give him too much to do.
He did not ruin the movie. So you know, credit to the director. Yes. I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Dale, you got anything? Because I'm still thinking here.
I'm thinking. You know, I'm going to go with and I didn't have a lot of experience with him, but I'd hated everything that I'd seen from him, and I don't think I've seen anything since then with him, is Steve Zahn in Rescue Dawn.
Oh, yeah, that was a cool movie.
And I don't like Christian Bale very much and haven't.
That's right, he was in Rescue Dawn, that's right.
Yeah, he was the star, but...
Once again, emaciated, yes?
Yes, yes. And so was Steve Zahn, because they were POWs. And I like the story. It's a fiction or, you know, whatever, dramatic remake of a documentary that Werner Herzog had made, and he directed Rescue Dawn. But where Christian Bale, I basically felt, was about to ruin the movie, Steve Zahn saved it in every way.
Hmm.
And so for that, I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for him, even if I hate him in everything.
Now, what do you not like Steve Zahn in?
We'll say, I mean, it's been, cause I don't have, you know, I don't tend to watch movies with actors that I hate. I tend to try to stay away, but we'll say something like Joyride, which I otherwise like, I just can't stand his character in that or really. You know,
that's fair. Honestly, the only movie of his I can think of is That Thing You Do, which is a great movie. So,
yeah.
I'm going to go with Jack Black, who I typically cannot stand, but he was very good in his episode of Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty, he did well there. Everything else, so maybe I could only take him in 15-minute segments when he's on a kid's show. That's about all I got.
In the worst, the only episode of Community that I'll skip over.
Ooh, which one was he in? Which one was that?
It's in the first season. He comes in as as a second semester starting as some guy who wants to join the group. And they drop it, thankfully. But it's awful. It's awful. Yeah. Jack Black is awful.
All right. Well, Alice, what's yours?
A few weeks ago, saw 21 Jump Street, the remake, and Channing Tatum was very good in it. He was funny.
Good one. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. He was very funny. Yeah, good
he
one.
He was very good in that, and usually he's just like a, you know, block of wood in whatever he does. So.
Though I do say Jonah Hill still has not acquitted himself well, in my opinion. I'm still
I
do not
like
understand
Jonah
the Jonah Hill draw. Maybe
I don't. I don't get it either.
All right. Eric, how are you? What's yours?
All right. Memorable fictional websites.
Oh, good, yeah.
In movies or TV.
It's good.
Okay. Wow.
I'm going to go with two from one series, all right? I'm going to jump on this before anyone gets to it. So, let's see. I'll go with... NoScar.com, right? So Oscar Bluth's website, who tried to prove his innocence, that he's going to try a podcast next time. And then, of course, even though we don't see it, it's only reference to, but Bob Loblaw's Law Blog.
Bob Loblaw's Law Blog is the best.
So that that went off to get. What was the one? The other thing, I couldn't remember, what was the one that was besieged by pop-ups? Do you remember?
Is that No Scar? Maybe that was No
Scar. Maybe.
I don't know. I can't remember what it was.
I'd just seen it, too.
But anyway, yeah, I would love to see Bob Blog. So.
No, while they think, I'll throw you another bonus one. Creed's fictional blog that was a Word document that Ryan set up in the office was funny. Remember that?
That was good. But let's look at that. The office used to be funny. Remember that? It's great. Good for them.
Uh-oh.
This is a tough one.
They have ambushed them right out of a...
You did.
Should I go while they're thinking?
Go for it. Yeah, let them.
Yes,
go.
Yes. Oh,
good. I got to go because I'm afraid Daryl's going to take mine. I was expecting to be
Dave
on the
already
show.
Took mine.
Oh, okay.
Loblogs.
All right. Well, last night I finally got a chance to see Ty West's The Innkeepers. Which is a great movie. What a great movie.
Yeah, I love that
great,
movie.
Great ghost story. Great, you know. But in it, the one guy who's working at this haunted hotel has created this super cheesy, like, GeoCities-style website with, you know, for the ghost stuff with animated GIFs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can go check the website out, too, in real life.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah, it's terrible looking.
It's great. I mean, it's not, you know, it's done intentionally terribly, but not but it makes sense in the, you know, for the movie. It's not like it's going for a cheap laugh or anything. But I mostly wanted to mention that I saw The Innkeepers and I really liked it. Sorry I dragged Daryl and Alice into this pit.
I know, boy.
The Innkeepers is an excellent, excellent.
Oh, I loved it. What a great film.
If you have Amazon Prime, it's on Amazon Prime Instant for free, so that's how I saw it.
On Netflix,
oh, for free?
It's on Netflix? I didn't think it was. Oh, good.
Yeah, streaming.
Great.
I'm pretty sure I saw an episode of, I can't even think of the name of the show, the cartoon, with South Park, where they had a fake, like, candy-selling website or something, and I could be confusing this with something else. But that's my answer.
All right, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Yes.
So, in being stumped, I'm actually going to go with a real life website selling the Blair Witch Project, a movie that I totally hated.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
But that had the most effective ad campaign that I've ever seen, and part of that was in that early website. Explaining the whole history and the background and making people actually think that this garbage was real.
Nice.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job. They even hid the actors before the movie was released.
The campaign was awesome, and the website was completely creepy and immersive for, you know, 2001 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I think it was like 99.
It was 99, okay.
That far back, yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, working with the web to fool people. So, you know, I appreciate that. Even though I hate the movie, we'll go with that.
Nice.
I have a soft spot in my heart for the Blair Witch Project. I still like it.
I don't think you get much support around here for that.
I know. I can hear
I think
crickets.
I might like the sequel.
Does that explain your inexplicable love of the river?
That's
you just love that stuff, don't you?
We all have our weaknesses, don't we?
That's fine. That's absolutely true and fine, and I do not begrudge any of it. Good for you.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Hey, the sarcasm is just dripping from that.
No. I'm not sarcastic.
All right, Daryl, wrap us up.
So I, in more Olympic fever action,
yes.
Movies with inappropriate or just gratuitous sports scenes.
Inappropriate sports scenes?
Not inappropriate, but it's just
out of place.
Out of place of the movie, yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to ask you go first, Daryl, so we get a baseline of what we're thinking of.
Yeah.
All right, well, I reviewed a movie about a year ago called The Visitor, which is a sci-fi movie with John Huston. And it's totally worthless except for a great scene with a 9-year-old girl verbally dressing down John Huston, who's, you know, like 85, which is hilarious. But the first 15 minutes of the movie is like the third quarter of an Atlanta Hawks basketball game.
Okay.
It's literally like 15 minutes long. It's like the whole quarter. And it has there's no consequence. It's just one of the people in the movie owns the Hawks. I think they're called something different, but
all right.
The Atlanta professional basketball team. And it's the whole beginning of the movie, and it, you know, it seems like it's there to pad time, but it's the first scene in the movie.
Hmm.
So, it's so yeah, that's probably the worst example I can think of.
You know, I'm gonna best you actually.
Okay, good.
There's a movie called Challenge of the Tiger starring Bruce Lee, L-E, not Bruce Lee. Mm-hmm. One of our many Bruceploitation actors. Mm-hmm. And it's some incoherent plot where he teams up with some kind of mustachioed American stud and they go on a mission or whatever. But the opening scene where we meet the mustachioed American stud is like a 5-minute slow motion tennis match between this guy and a topless woman.
Exactly. That's exactly what I mean.
Okay, good. All right. Just wanted to make sure. And it is, it's beyond surreal. And
I'm sure it goes on forever.
It does. It goes on forever, and it makes no sense, zero sense in the context of anything.
You got to get the whole game. How else do you build suspense?
And it was, that's right. And it was in slow motion, too. and it's exactly as you're picturing it right now.
It's a hell of a lolly.
I'm going to go with movie that I absolutely hated called 7 Days in Utopia. And although I guess the golf was supposed to be part of the movie, every golf scene was wrapped up in some kind of Christian fortune cookie saying by Robert Duvall, and it just made a sport I already hate even more boring and more drawn out. So
yeah, rough.
That's my answer.
Yeah, movie. That was rough.
That's a terrible movie.
My favorite, the typical kind of garbage training montages, you know. So it's like any sports movie. There's a training montage, and like for no purposes that would actually help with golf. I think doesn't he get blindfolded once? Like he actually does this one where Robert Duvall sets up this really tough shot, and instead of like tutoring this kid how to do it, he says, "Paint a picture of what it would look like to make this shot."
Yeah. Isn't that silly?
And like,
that's horrible.
And so and like this kid is apparently a master watercolor artist as well. So it's.
And he had him like fly fishing out in the middle of a lake.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it was like the worst Mr. Miyagi you could ever think of.
I know absolutely. the ridiculous Daniel-san dodging that weird Okinawan impaler crane had more to do with anything than this movie. You're right. You're right, Alice. You're right.
All right. Well, this is a bit of a this is kind of low hanging fruit, but on the most recent Mystery Science Theater set I reviewed, there's a movie called Samson versus the Vampire Women, and it's about
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's probably the most famous of all Mexican wrestlers. His name was El Santo. He made a bunch of movies in Mexico. Only a few got released in the States, kind of redubbed, and they changed his name from El Santo to Samson, so I guess as not to confuse American audiences, who knows.
Which makes it even more confusing because I didn't even realize it was a Santo movie.
yeah, exactly. Samson versus the Vampire. So, and in this movie, El Santo, Samson, is brought in to basically stop this ancient vampire curse, this group of lady vampires from taking this woman and making her their new queen. But along the way, kind of partway through the movie, it just kind of stops because he has a wrestling match to go to. So we see a long scene of him wrestling, which makes sense. It's a movie about a wrestler, but it just kind of breaks the flow. luckily at the end of the match, he unmasks his opponent, and it turns out it's a werewolf. So I was
that's
even
that sounds
wow.
That's
not humiliating and scary.
Nice.
All right. Very good. Well, I think that brings us to the end of this edition of Friday Filibuster. Well done, a very substantial episode, if I do say so myself. So thank you, Eric, Daryl, and Alice. Mac, wherever you are, I hope things are going well. In fact, Mac did want to relay that he finally saw The Raid Redemption, I've been singing its high praises, and he enjoyed it. So we'll get more from him next week about that. But beyond that...
that's great. We got Mac, The Raid Redemption, he likes. He can't talk about it. He's not here.
Right.
Breaking Bad, he's watching it. He likes it. Can't
that's
talk
right.
It.
That's true.
Great. Thanks.
We'll talk about Ben 10 here. Daryl, did you just finish Ben 10? All right, so that being said, FridayFilibuster@DVDverdict.com is the email. And you know what, Eric? I'm going to let you have the final word.
It's all about the Benjamins.